Right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning. Help us be faithful to you. Lord, we pray for one to be baptized today. God, we ask your blessing upon him, Father. Help him to be faithful. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with those suffering now, Father. Lord, through storms and trials, just ask that you'd be with them, encourage them, help them look to you, Father. Lord, we thank you for all that you do again. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom as we open your Word. Help us see your way, your path, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shut the air off. All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Kind of just chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. Okay, I want to talk about the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist, but I also want to look at this verse that says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. I also want to talk a little about confession this morning and what it means to confess something. You know, there's a lot of people that we've dealt with, and just in dealing with people and working with people who try to follow the Lord and just... people in general, a lot of times you run into people and they will confess something to you that they've done. The Bible says for us to confess our faults one to another. And with confession, just like everything else, there is a right confession and there is a false confession. We're reading about an Antichrist. We're reading about something that should represent what is right, but it actually represents what is wrong. It has the appearance, the Antichrist. I've told before and said it many times that whenever I was growing up, my image of the Antichrist was someone who was setting in they read the book of Revelations, and it would go into Jerusalem. The Antichrist would enter into the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself as God. And I had this image of this man that was going to be worshipped, and he would go in and say, "I'm Christ. I'm who you should worship. And I hate Jesus, and I hate everything about it." So I had this image, and I've heard people on the street talk about the temple going to be rebuilt, and so they're anxiously waiting for this Antichrist to appear. And everyone's going to see this as he's the Antichrist, and we're going to know who he is. But as we look at the Bible, and we see the Antichrist, he's not going to come that way. The Antichrist is going to come saying, "I love Jesus." The Antichrist is going to be someone who's saying the things, going to be as close to an imposter as possible to Jesus. The only thing is the spirit behind it is going to make it evil. They're going to be saying the same things, doing the same things, but the spirit is the spirit of Satan. It's the spirit of the world. It's the spirit that's against God. It's not, and it can have all the other appearances. The Bible talks about that this Antichrist will enter into the temple. In Thessalonians, it talks about him entering the temple. Man is the temple of God. Man is the temple, the dwelling place of God in this earth. And when we think about tying all this together here, the temple of God being man, God's Holy Spirit comes upon men and he lives his life out. That's what Jesus did. And that's what he's talking about here whenever he talks about confessing that Christ came in the flesh. That Christ came in a body and the Spirit of God was upon that body. And that's what gave them, that's what made him Christ. That's what made him the Christ. And we know that there's people that deny that he came. And we see that. The Jewish people, they deny that Jesus was God. Many religions deny that Jesus is God. And so we think, well, there's the Antichrist, because they're just denying it flat out that he's God. But that's not the way Satan works. Satan doesn't come out and tell you what he's going to do. He didn't come out and announce that he's Antichrist. All those things add confusion, but that's not the way Satan works. Satan comes saying he is the Christ. And we've talked about this in Thessalonians, where people come, the Spirit, they say that this Spirit comes upon them and they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're able to produce all kinds of miracles, naming the name of Christ, singing and glorifying Christ, just held up in rapture. But they completely ignore the teachings of Christ. That's Antichrist. That's falling closer to the spirit of the true Antichrist and what that is. It's someone who's trying to be as close to the image of God with the spirit of the devil motivating them. That is the true sense of what Satan is trying to do and trying to produce in an Antichrist. He does that in everything. Every area. He's trying to mimic. Trying to pattern himself after what is godly. He wants what God has. But he's chosen a different path to obtain it. Instead of just submitting himself to God like he should have, he wanted what God had. He wanted what he had, but he rebelled in heaven. And he said, "I want it. I'm going to rise above it. I'm going to take what he has. And for myself, that's what I want." And whenever God expelled him from heaven, he was kicked out, he is still trying to obtain what God has. And so he mimics everything that God does. But it's all wrong. And he uses everything in the world. Everything has a counterfeit. Every good thing has a counterfeit, a shadow, trying to follow it around, doing exactly, trying as closely as possible to be God or to be what God is, but not able to obtain it. It's a false. It's an antichrist. It's not there. We see that the antichrist, the spirit of antichrist, is something that's trying to obtain what God has without just doing it God's way, without submitting to God and being what He wants. It's a usurper. They see something good. They see something they like. And instead of being able to obtain it themselves, they have to steal it. They have to take it. They have to usurp it and try to create this thing for themselves. But it doesn't work. The whole spirit of it, the whole heart of it, is just like Satan himself. He tried to usurp that authority instead of just submitting to it and being what he was supposed to be and could have been a partaker of it. He wanted it for himself. That's Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And you can apply that to anything in this world. We talked about confession. People, we're supposed to confess. So we have millions and millions of people going to priests, and they confess their sins to the priest. And the priest does his little thing and says, "You're forgiven for your sin because you've confessed it." But does that mean God has forgiven the sin? Does that mean that you've been cleansed from it? Does that mean you've been set free from it? No, not at all. But what happens when someone confesses their sin? Well, they've got it out of their mind. They've released themselves from it. And so they feel better about it. Have you ever done something wrong and you just didn't feel right until you told somebody about it? You've confessed it, but is that the true confession? You feel better about it, but does that mean you've changed? Does that mean you've become in agreement with the one you've confessed to? People will confess all day long because it makes them feel better. If you're confessing to make yourself feel better, that is not the Spirit of God type of confession. That's the Antichrist. It's just trying to make yourself feel better. It's for yourself instead of God. It's trying to exalt yourself above God. Whenever you confess that you've done something wrong, you go to the person and you fix it because you've done it wrong. You're concerned about that other person, that you have offended them, that you've been deceived, that you've done something wrong, that you've led them astray, that you've done something. And whenever you confess something, it means you've fixed it. You're not doing it anymore. How many times people just confess something? They do something, they say something, and their conscience bothers them. And so they just got to go, they got to go get it off of their conscience, and then they go right on doing the very same thing. It doesn't change one thing at all. That's a fake confession. We don't like to hear about things that we might, that they're so close, but this is getting down to what's real and what isn't. When I confess that I've done something wrong, I'm going to fix it. That's what John talked about, bringing forth fruit, meat for repentance, is really trying to fix something. If I'm going to confess something just to make me feel better, and I'm not going to try to make it right with you, I haven't confessed it. It doesn't mean anything. It's just made me feel better. And that's all there is to it. That's what this fake idea, this fake things that go on are just... They're counterfeit. They're copycat. They're antichrist. That's what the antichrist does. Jesus said that whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Here's this word again. Confess the Son. How many people in this world confess that Jesus is Lord? And they think that they've got it down pat. Jesus himself said, many will say, or many will confess, Lord, Lord. And I'll say to them, I never knew you. So we know that out of the millions that are confessing, having a hope, having a false hope, that they're confessing the Christ, Jesus is going to look at them and say, I don't know you. And so we know there's a false confession. We know that being able just to confess something or say it with our mouth doesn't mean a thing. Jesus goes on to say, he that does the will of my Father is who's going to be accepted. This is where we get this Antichrist. That confess that Jesus came in the flesh. What does that mean? That is dogma for not just millions, but billions of people in religion. There's a bunch of outliers that just say, no, Jesus didn't come in the flesh. At least they're being honest. But there's billions of people who confess every day that Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He came down in the flesh. And they're making that profession. But what does it mean that Jesus came in the flesh? In Genesis, the Bible tells us that God created man in His own image. You know, whenever we take a picture of something, that's the image of the thing we took the picture of. If I take a picture of any one of you and I held that picture up, what would you see? Everyone would say, oh, there he is. Why? Because that is a direct image of you. That's what a photograph is. A picture is a direct image of someone. And when God created man, He made man, click, in His image. He made man in His image. That's the closeness of what it means. If we're created in His image, if I create an image of this rock, I'm going to hold this rock up and see that image. And I'm going to know it's this rock. That's what God did when He created man. He made man in His own image. So that man, when he lives, you know what he should look like? As he walks and lives and talks and lives in this world? He should look like God. He should look like God. Men should be able to look at people and see God. Oh, that's just absurd. How can you do that? You know, one of the things that convinces me more than anything that there is a God is that this very man that was created in God's image can look like the devil. And nobody thinks a thing about it. That's just natural. That's just normal. You know, there's extremes and it's ugly and we don't like it. But it's normal. No, it isn't. We were created in God's image. That's normal. And so to deny that God was able to come and live as a man, and he walked out this life as a man, being tempted just like every one of us, being tested just like every one of us. He was a man, and he was able to live his life. And that's what Christ was. People who didn't listen to him, didn't hear him, because he's just a man, is just exactly what this is talking about the Antichrist denying that he came in the flesh. He didn't have a God-like aura around him, and so people, I better listen to him because he looks like God. He was just a man, and he spoke like a man, and he acted like a man. He did all the things a man does. And people heard what he was saying because it was the Spirit that made him like God. It was the Spirit of God upon him that made him like God. He didn't fit all the rules. He didn't fit into all these areas that man thought he ought to be, because man had this high elevated thing of him that God ought to be this or God ought to do this. They didn't see him. He just lived his life as a man, and he did what was right. He reflected the true image of God, and man looking at him didn't see it, because their eyes are blinded, because they think the image of God is something different. They think it's something that, it ought to be shaking the mountains. It ought to be doing all kinds of things. But just to be here like a man, that's why they don't know him. They're looking for something different. They don't know him. When he came as a man, he lived his life. He was crucified. He was murdered as a man. And he rose again because he had eternal life. Before he left, he gathered about some disciples and he began teaching them. And he began to say, to show them who he was. And they didn't believe it hardly. They didn't hardly believe it. They were scared. They didn't understand. They saw that there was something different, but they didn't have it for themselves. And whenever he was crucified, they all ran away scared, most of them. But whenever the Spirit of God came upon them on Pentecost, they didn't get a glow around them like so everybody was. They got the Spirit of God to live on them. What does that mean? That means they now were the men who were the vessels to be the image of God to the dark world. We got all the images of darkness all around us. And people are trying to portray this image of light falsely. Antichrist. But there are people who are actually following the Lord, who actually are partakers of His Spirit, that are still propagating and still maintaining the Spirit of God in this earth, on this world. They're still here. They have been from the beginning, and they still will be here, and they will be the ones that will go on for eternity. God is still using men. He told the disciples to go take the gospel to the world. You go be the man that I send into the world. You go represent me. You go reflect my image to the world. He's still doing that. He didn't ever change somewhere and say, don't you ever listen to a man. Don't be deceived by a man. He didn't start using donkeys again to go give his message to the world. He didn't change anything. He still uses men. And people become so suspicious of listening to anyone else that they won't listen to anyone else. And if we cut men out of people I'm going to listen to, we cut God out of who I'm going to listen to. God speaks through men. That's what He does. The reason we have the Bible is because some men wrote down what they saw and heard. We have the Bible because some men did that. We have the Bible because some men carried the message to other men, and other men heard it, and they recognized what was written, and so they protected it, and they took care of it, and they passed it on, and passed it on. Everything we have today depends on men propagating it. Somewhere along the line, a man is responsible for you knowing about God. You cannot get away with that. You are not so special that God didn't need anyone else. He just came down and appeared and gave you everything you need to know all by yourself. He didn't do that. Human beings come from human beings over and over and over again. We all go back to Adam somewhere along the line. That's the way God made us. And the faith is passed from man to man. And whenever we deny that God uses men, we're denying that Christ was a man. God uses men to provide His gospel. Now there's a way that men can mess things all up. There's a way that men can try to go around God. There's a way that men will try to use the devil's means to try to produce the same thing that God wants. The counterfeit, the Antichrist. Instead of you hearing the gospel and just responding in your heart to the obedience, to yield yourself individually to follow the Lord, there's people that will try and manufacture that. They'll try to recreate it. They'll try to force it into something and try to produce the same thing. A synthetic type of thing instead of an organic, natural, real thing that God made. People try to do that. They've tried to imitate God and imitate everything about God since Satan tried to overthrow God. That's just the nature of men that are following their master. The nature of men following their master. They have His image reflected. They're reflecting the image of Satan and Antichrist. They try to create things that are wrong, that are false. The churches use their standards to try to maintain this image of unity or this image of everything being right. And whenever we think of a standard, people who've been in churches that have rules, we always think of they have rules to keep anybody from getting or from falling out from the bottom. In other words, whenever a lot of times in churches, the people that are keeping the rules watch the young people on the outside trying to get away with not keeping the rules, or try to, if they have a rule that says you have to have something, your dress has to be 10 inches off the ground, well, the young people will try to get it 14 inches off of the ground. They'll just try to keep pushing. And we always think they're going on the outside and on the outside. But the problem is, what really is damaging about things like that is that, okay, the rule is your dress is, I'm just using figures, 10 inches off the ground. What we don't recognize is if you try to let it longer to where it's only 8 inches off the ground, well, that's against the rules too. You're stifled in this little set of rules. You can't grow forward. You can't grow or fall down or backwards. You're just dead right in the middle. You're just sterile, stifled right there. That's the problem with that. It looks good. It has this appearance of everything right. But it's trying to do it another way. It's trying to climb in another way. Jesus talked about the thief and the robber that tried to sneak in instead of going through the gate. Instead of you choosing to follow Jesus and you walking out your life following Jesus, you try to figure out a way that you can create that some other way. That is Antichrist. That is the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of Satan. And it can look as holy as evil looks evil. And the holier it looks, the more deceitful it is. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Sure, all the world is Antichrist. Sure, the world is a mess. And most of it is, honestly, you can see it. But the more dangerous part, the more deceitful part, the more wicked part is trying to look like Jesus falsely. Antichrist. That's what they were dealing with here in the very beginning of the church. People who were coming in trying to usurp the organic, natural reflection of God. And they tried to create it another way. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Let's go on and read. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you abide in Him. Okay, whenever He talks about having no need for anyone to teach you, that doesn't mean you don't need a man. That means that whenever a man speaks, and he's speaking truth, your heart says, yes. Your witness is agreement to that. He said, go out and teach. You can't say, okay, I don't need a man to teach me. And Jesus sent people out and said, go teach. That don't fit. He's not that confused. When He sent people out to teach, He doesn't mean that John's contradicting Him. He said, you don't need anyone to teach you. People just jump on that. I don't need anyone to teach me. God's teaching me. That don't fit. If you reject this or if you reject that, you're rejecting what Jesus said whenever He sent men out to teach, to go into all the world to teach. What He's saying is you don't need any. Whenever you see the Antichrist, you will recognize what you're being taught. There's deceivers all over the world, He's saying. And you'll understand. That's what it means when His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Told about whenever I began reading other teachings. Whenever I began reading the early church. It wasn't because I actually just had to be taught things by them. But whenever I read them, it was like, yes, I understand what they're talking about. When you read about the martyrs and some of the things they say, it's, yes, my heart bears witness with what they're saying. That same spirit is what is teaching, is what we don't need to be taught. That spirit's there. You can't teach the spirit. You can't teach God's spirit. Whenever the Bible says about you have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You can't teach that. It's a counterfeit to teach that or to learn that from someone else. We have that because we're walking in the light and we have fellowship with God and one another. That's what he's saying here. You can't teach that. That's what doesn't need to be taught. You walk in the light. You listen to the instructions that some man has passed down. You learn from them. And then when you walk in that light, you have fellowship. You don't have to be taught that fellowship. You don't have to be taught or create something new. You walk in the light. You listen. You submit yourselves one to another. You listen. And when someone's telling you light and telling you truth, you understand it. And you follow it. That's what doesn't need to be taught or created. He's talking about people trying to create something that isn't true. We don't do it that way. We walk in that light. Now, little children, abide in Him, verse 28, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Practicing righteousness. Doing what is right. There's people that say that, well, I'm obeying the teachings of Jesus. And you can be just as antichrist as the devil himself, keeping the teachings of Jesus. But doing righteousness keeps the teachings of Jesus because you love Him. Because you're following Him. There are counterfeits that can do all of this, say all of this, because they're trained that way. Because they're taught that way. Like we're talking about. They're just taught. You live this way, you live that way, and they're sheltered in this thing. And they're terrified inside. They know something's not right. And they still are living within this. But they're wrong inside. There's just as much chance of counterfeit in any of this. But whenever you just walk in the light, you have confidence. Whenever you just walk in the light, doesn't mean you're not scared. It doesn't mean you're not worried about some things once in a while. But you know, this is right. And that no matter how it looks, it's right. And I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to do it. If we know that He is righteous, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. If we know that He is righteous, we recognize Him. We see that He was a man, came in the flesh. We know He lived this out. And we do the same thing. Rules can't create that. Teaching can't create that. You have to listen to God yourself. Your conscience is not God. You can appease your conscience. You can throw it. You can confess and make your conscience feel better. You can do all kinds of things. You can jump through all kinds of hoops. And you think you're pleasing your... You can be a slave to your conscience. Conscience can be your God. To the one that's following truth, you've got to almost lay aside your conscience. You've got to do what's right. You've got to walk in the light. The conscience can be a big problem to you. And it's caused millions of people to fall. They chase their conscience, trying to appease it, instead of just following and trusting the Lord. That's what consciences, false consciences, have created all kinds of religions. But we don't follow our conscience. We follow Jesus. We listen to Him. And we do what's right. Because He's righteous, we do righteousness. Spirit of Antichrist is trying to do something, trying to create something, because we're lacking something. It's trying to usurp, it's trying to steal, instead of you just being a man and following Jesus. Confess is to become at one with, is to become a part of, is to be like Him. Jesus came in the flesh. He came as a man. And you and I are still men and women. He came in the flesh. Because He came in the flesh, we can be like Him. We can be. And it's not jumping through hoops. It's not trying to squeeze into a religion. It's not trying to squeeze everything out. It's walking in the light. And when we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with others that are walking in that light, that are of that faith. That's an assurance. That's a help that we're doing what's right. We just have kinship. We don't have to create some kind of false fellowship or false group. We can just walk in the light and have fellowship. Organic, natural. Praise the Lord. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They're all around us. But we were created in God's image. And it's our choice to who we're going to reflect. It's not a performance test to see how we can conform to something. It's laying our lives down. Self is the biggest hindrance. We do a lot of stuff just to please ourselves, to not only the flesh wise, but we do a lot of stuff because of us. We try to save ourselves because of us. We want to serve God because of us. We got to lay ourselves down. You've got to lose yourself. And just follow Jesus. Do it for Him, not for you. When we've done something wrong, need to confess. It's not necessarily saying the words that speaks the loudest. It's fixing things. If I've got a problem, problem with a relationship, me just confessing something and just going on and doing the same thing isn't a confession. There's nothing right about that. I'm just amazed. More and more about the real living our lives, the real being is what's preaching to the world. I've just this week I went into I go to LaCoba, and I hardly ever preach to anybody. I tell people God bless them. I talk to them. I listen to them. Just there for them. I hardly ever just talk to somebody and really try to correct them or preach to them. Say God bless you. It's about all. I mean, if there's a need, I would, but most of the time, I'm just there. They ask questions sometimes, but I went to a garage sale in Pierce City and was looking around, and this lady come around the corner, and her husband, honey, come here. This is the man that preaches the gospel every morning to my mom, in the nursing home. He comes and preaches the gospel. He comes and preaches Jesus every morning to the people at the nursing home. And I'm just, I hardly ever preach Jesus. I mean, verbally like that. I don't have a time there. There's people that come in and preach every day there. But I don't do that. I just go visit. But everywhere I hear, here comes the preacher. And I'm not preaching to people. But that's what they say. That's what they call. Just live this life. And that preaches, that speaks, and people hear that. Well, may the Lord add His blessings.